All right, it's the anointing of God, and that is what it's all about. And we welcome you right now to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you're with us. It's always fun to be here live in the studio, and that we are live in the studio. And with me today is Madeline. Love it when you're on, Madeline.
Cool.
And Nathan Burton over here. Madeline Ercolano.
I was going to say, you didn't say Ercolano.
Yes, Madeline Ercolano. We got to get it right.
Ercolano.
Yes, and Nathan Burton.
Yes.
Wow, wow, wow. Madeline, you're our drummer at Beacon of Hope. And boy, you were pounding those. You brought your A game today.
Yeah.
Brought your A game to church this morning. And Nathan, you always do too. And today was wonderful. Wild, wasn't it?
It was something else.
Great worship service today. It started at 10 and got done about an hour ago. No, it felt like that. No, it really was a powerful day, wasn't it,
yes,
Nathan?
It was.
I mean, God was moving mightily. The anointing on the music was fantastic. The anointing on the word.
Yes.
I mean, just a powerful day. A lot of people received ministry.
Yes. It was wild. It was amazing to me. And awesome to me that people received healing without you having to lay hands on. No one had to lay hands on anybody. The Holy Spirit just gave healing throughout the congregation.
Just right around the room.
It was just amazing.
It was such a powerful move, God's Holy Spirit today. Bill's got a comment.
It was wild.
It was wild, Bill, and you should have been there, Wild Bill.
You should have been there.
You should have been there. Uh-huh.
I have my shirt on today.
I know. You got your Beacon of Hope shirt. So now, you know, that's just almost as good as being there.
Could Madeline maybe on drums one day think she can do Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me Down?
Oh, yikes. That's a sad song.
I like
yikes.
That song.
You like that
the
song?
Carpenters.
I like that girl drummer on that song.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Madeline is quite a drummer, and
yes.
Today she just really rocked out.
She
here.
Rocked out.
She's gonna rock. She's gonna rock out on this show soon.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have to bring all the drums set up so she can have a drum solo. Yeah.
Oh boy.
If we bring the drums,
Nathan on keys.
If we bring the drums, we got to bring the keyboard.
Yeah, the problem is just bringing all that stuff, you know. But anyway, it sure is fun. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10. Oh, and I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Yes. Who are you?
Right now, today, I am still in that.
You're in that zone.
I'm still in that zone.
Yes,
the anointing, Bill, was so mighty today at Beacon of Hope. And people, Nathan's right, people were being healed as they worshiped today.
Yes.
It was amazing what God did today. And it was like the glory cloud came down, settled down. And God was there walking among us. Amazing, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So we're all still kind of drunk in the spirit. Not from alcohol, mind you, but drunk
in the spirit.
In the spirit. It reminded me, guys, of some of the amazing services we had at Cornerstone, my church in Indiana when I pastored. Mm. And some of those people listen to this show regularly. And this was like one of those glory cloud days that we used to have at Cornerstone. Just an amazing, amazing move of God. We welcome you to come and participate in what God is doing.
Yes.
It's wonderful to be able to just be in His presence. Madeline, what does it do for you? And we've talked about this many times when you're on the show, but it bears repeating, I think, because you grew up in the Catholic Church. And you didn't grow up in anything like what goes on at Beacon of Hope, did you?
True. Completely different.
I mean, really.
And certainly, at first, a little, you
back
know,
in 03,
taken aback.
You and Nathan came about the same time.
Right. And I remember Nathan was playing when I went there. And, it's... I think at first it's just like anything else. You just, you know, you get used to something different, you know, very different, very participating, very out, you know, praying out and hands and emotion. And and it was for me. I mean, you know, because like you said, I never felt God like that,
right.
You know, maybe at all. I mean, I can't remember exactly, but I don't think I ever felt like, you know, I was in communication with him at that level,
right,
where you felt the presence of him in the room. You felt him inside, the Holy Spirit inside you, and really just that intense connection. And
you felt that today, didn't you?
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was it was wild. As we said before, it was wild today. Crazy people going down, all kinds of happenings.
Yeah, some people couldn't stand up because of the power of God, so they were falling under the power, which I almost did that myself, but Grant managed to land on my teaching stool, because it was just amazing what God was doing. And when he shows up to that extent, mm-hmm. and when he is walking around the room healing people and doing what he was doing, some of you out there may be saying, what do you mean walking around the room? We could feel him. Mm-hmm. We could feel him so strong. Mm. And people could, because, you know, and the crying and what God was doing and healing people, not just physically, but emotionally today, Nathan.
Yes.
I mean, couldn't you sense that powerful anointing?
Well, and it was necessary, because we knew from the get-go there was going to be major warfare done today.
Yes.
We knew it.
Because of what we were teaching
because
on
of what
today.
We're teaching. Yes, but we
which
knew
we're going to talk about
the
now.
Enemy was going to come against us. So
right.
But God showed up so big, and he said that the enemy wouldn't dare.
Right.
Trying to interfere.
Dare. That's exactly right. That is what he said.
He did not.
He just couldn't stand
it. He couldn't do it.
And we were all in such agreement. You know, the worship team gathers about 9 on Sunday mornings and begins to go through the songs. And yet, then we always have time for prayer before that and after that, before we start the service. And there was just such an anointing in those prayer circles today. And I think we all sensed that this was going to be an amazing day.
Amazing, special day.
It was an amazing day. Amazing day. Woo! So we're going to feature some songs today that go along with what we're talking about in Ephesians. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and find Ephesians chapter 6, because we're going to go there to start, and then we're going to go from other places from there. But let's start with a great song by Casting Crowns, My Own Worst Enemy.
God help me get away, break the chains and set me free. From the other side of me, I am my own worst enemy.
Yeah. was God. Good song. I've never heard that one from Casting Crowns, my own worst enemy. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries today, and we are talking about our own worst enemy. Mm. And so oftentimes that is us, but yes. We are so beat up by what the devil tries to throw at us. Mm. And we are really going to expose his little tactics today in a new way, perhaps, than some of you have ever heard, because there is definitely good and evil, and that began back in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And we know that Satan in the form of the serpent was the one who spoke to Eve and tempted her, and we know it all began clear. In fact, we know from the book of Ezekiel that there was war in heaven. Mm-hmm. What year that was, who knows? I think that was before they counted years, you know. And Satan was, Lucifer was, he was the music leader, mm-hmm. which is why we have so many times the music department of any church is attacked mm-hmm. by the devil, because the music that really is anointed sets captives free. Mm-hmm. It just absolutely does. And so the devil hates that, because he was the music leader in heaven, according to the book of Ezekiel. And he got into trouble with pride and haughtiness. And he absolutely was put in his proper place and cast out. And so from that point on, Satan actually managed to take about a third of the angels with him. And those are the demonic spirits that we fight. So it was amazing what happened clear back then. And we have an adversary. Mm-hmm. And the adversary is the devil, and we're going to talk about that today. But we're going to not talk from a negative perspective of, oh, the devil is all the time harassing me. We are going to talk more from the perspective of God's power in us and what we can do. And this song, talking about my own worst enemy, Madeline, you have a comment on that? What'd you hear just then in that song?
I love that song. That's from Casting Crowns' new album. So I've been listening to that a lot the okay. last couple of months. And, it makes perfect sense. I mean, we, a lot of times, I know I, you know, can be for sure, you know, my own worst enemy. I let things get to me, yeah. and it starts sometimes me on a negative spiral, mm-hmm. and I have to stop myself and remember, because you can really just spin out of control.
You can't
when you
spin.
Get in that bad, negative, ugly mindset.
Yes.
And I know, and you know, a lot of times I'm saying to myself, I know this is what I'm doing. I know I'm letting all these little things that are piling up that the devil is flinging at me, you know, pile up, and I'm knowing it, and I'm trying to grab a hold of myself, you know, and start praying and thanking God, and because I know number one, that makes him mad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The devil, not God.
The devil and, hates it when you're praying and,
right.
and praising
and,
God.
And I have to remember that I have control over that. God gave me that ability to
yes.
say, see you, devil, you can't hurt me.
That's
you
exactly
cannot
right.
hurt me. I'm doing it to myself at those moments.
Right.
And I'm, you know, and he's seeing my vulnerable weak spots.
Oh.
And taking his little, you know, jagged thing mm. there and poking me and, you know, making the bear angry, because sometimes sometimes I get angry. and once I can, you know, I start remembering. And even if I'm still in that foul mood, just start praying or singing if I'm in the car,
yes.
you know, because sometimes that's
yes.
easier. You know, when you're just, I'm saying, Lord, I know you're not liking my behavior right now. I know I don't like my behavior right,
right.
now. So help me get back on track. And so I try to get those thoughts going and,
exactly.
you know, pray, sing, can't hear you anymore, devil.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because the devil is real. And, you know, a lot of us have grown up in churches where we didn't talk about the devil.
Right.
It was just like, we didn't, you know, it's like that enemy out there, but nobody really wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to acknowledge it. We don't want to, like you said, we don't want to get him all stirred up, you know, because, mm-hmm. oh, if we talk about it and teach about it. And as you all know, I am not afraid whatsoever to teach about it. I like to teach about it. And the reason being, I want to expose the devil for his nastiness that he is and the schemes. In fact, we find in the word, he talks about the schemes of the devil,
yes.
because he's scheming all the time to destroy our victory, to take our peace away, and to get us into a place of just feeling down, depressed, discouraged, defeated, all of that. That's the name of the game. That's what the devil does. Nathan, did you have a comment on what she said there?
Yes. You know, the song, My Own Worst Enemy. Let me think about that. The fact of the matter is, every circumstance that comes our way, we are given a choice.
Exactly, we are.
We can choose to allow it to cause us to get in that downward spiral.
Right.
Or we can choose to reject it and praise God.
Exactly.
Worship God. You know, I mean, back in the garden, Eve had a choice.
Mm-hmm. She had a choice. Free will.
She had a choice either to believe the lie of the serpent.
Right.
Or to believe the truth of God.
Right.
And the serpent tried to make it sound like the truth. And she chose.
That's what the devil does.
That's what he does. That's what he does. He's a tricky.
Oh, absolutely.
Tricky creature.
Yeah.
You know, but we have a choice. We can believe the truth of God's word, what God says about me, or I can believe what the devil says about me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes, well, growing up.
Right.
We hear what the devil says about us almost all the time.
Right. Yes.
From different sources, from our parents, from our peer group, from strangers. You know,
people are quick to try to put people down and, you know, be negative and all that.
They're
yeah.
hurtful. Hurt people hurt people.
That's right. You know? It's a truth.
And I mean, I can remember many instances in my young life.
Right.
Young life.
Long time ago, because you're getting ready to have another birthday.
Yes.
So, yeah, we know that's a long time ago, Nathan.
It was a long
time. It's hard for you to remember, isn't it? It's a long time.
No, it's not hard for me to remember.
Okay.
Seems like yesterday.
Okay.
The time has flown by.
Right.
It has flown by. But, I mean, I remember hurtful things that people have done to me.
Sure.
People have said to me. And, I mean, and they were, these things got a hold of me and held me down.
Absolutely.
Held me
yes.
down. I could not see God caring about me.
Right, right. But he does.
But he does.
And so often the devil has been lying for so long that we begin to think that's
the truth,
yes. you know. At John 8:44, Jesus said, the devil is a liar, father
yes.
of lies. He's a liar, been a liar from the beginning. And, you know, that's the thing I think a lot of people don't realize is the devil really is very, very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
He's
oh,
full
yeah.
of schemes, and he'll take you down a path of temptation, let's say, mm-hmm. To gossip, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. And he takes you down that path and says, oh, you need to tell them all this, blah, 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 juicy stuff. And then mm-hmm. when you get there and you do the thing, let's say it's gossip or mm-hmm. it's something else, cheating or lying or stealing or whatever. When you do it, then he comes in to condemn you
yes.
and accuse you.
Yes.
And that's what I wrote that down when Nathan was talking about the serpent and Eve, how you know when it's the devil because, you know, the person that may be involved or the voice that you're hearing in your head is very persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to convince,
oh, yeah.
it's trying to manipulate.
Trying to
God
you.
Just tells you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's not going to try to convince you, oh, listen to me. And, you know, he tells us what is waiting for us. He,
right.
This is what he gave us. This is what we have to expect.
Yes.
We don't have to do tricks. We don't have to, you know, to win people over.
Mm-mm.
It's there waiting for us. But
right.
when it's the devil, you know, you see how people, manipulation, it's...
Right. Control,
manipulation.
Yes.
You, mm-hmm. entice you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. it takes you down a path of discouragement, mm-hmm. defeat. If you're feeling bad about what it is you're hearing in your head, it's not God. Because God always
right.
brings peace.
That's right.
Let's look at Acts 10:38, a really great verse and one of my favorites. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God, okay,
mm-hmm.
with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what each of us can be, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit. We can be that. We are that. If we walk in it. Ready for action. I'm reading now the Message Bible. I love that. Ready for action. Jesus arrived and did not come in and sit down and go, you know what? I'm just really, really tired. I don't feel like praying for anybody today. You know, and y'all know that. That when I walk in on Sunday mornings and I'm not patting myself on the back, it's not like that. But mm-hmm. I come in for an intentional purpose.
Yes.
We are going to get done what God wants done in that service. And I'm not going to settle for anything less
Nothing
than
less.
The very best we mm-hmm. can do. Whether it's musically, whether it's with the word, we give it. That's why I said to you all this morning, Nathan, bring your A game. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's give it all we have in worship. And we did.
Yes,
and God
we did.
Met us tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, he was ready for action,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you take notes out there, write that down. He's ready for action.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was Jesus ready for action, but he expects us to be ready for action. And not just sit around and get down in the dumps or whatever. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. What translation do you have, Madeline?
I'm showing NIV, and it says, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him.
went around doing good. You know, and this is part of the series we're teaching right now, goodness, grace, and glory. Because what Jesus does, what God does in our life is good. Mm-hmm. And Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for our good. Mm-hmm. Okay? To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So we see what Jesus did when he walked this earth. He arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil, it says in the Message Bible. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, oppressed, beaten down by the devil. He was able to do this because God was with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and God is with us.
Yes.
We can do this very same thing. In fact, we're commissioned to go
Yes. And
lay hands on the sick. And let's go back. Of course, this is going a little different direction. I thought that's okay. That's fun. Mark 16. Let's go to the last few verses of the book of Mark right before Jesus is ascended into heaven, mm-hmm. before he goes up into heaven. And let's see what Jesus said to us. And it was not just for the people gathered there. It is Mark 16, starting about verse 15. And then he said, go into the world. Do you see where I'm mm-hmm. starting there?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, when you want to read that to the end of the chapter right there through verse 20.
Then he said, go into the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to all, one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor. And the disciples went everywhere preaching, the Master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence.
Ooh, praise God. And that is what God does. Mm-hmm. He does honor the word of God
yes.
that comes forth in anointing with signs and
follow.
Wonders
yes.
that follow. Explain that, Nathan. What does that mean, signs that follow?
Well, once the word goes out, then God shows up to confirm his word. And those are the signs and wonders that follow, you know, and
healing, yeah,
deliverances,
right? Whatever's necessary,
yeah,
right.
Whatever's needed,
right? And so this is what Jesus said: go out and do this.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say go out, but you're not going to have any power. Mm-hmm. Too bad, so sad. Mm-hmm. No power for y'all. He didn't say that at all. He said, go out and go in power and
Amen.
Do. Lay hands on the sick. Doesn't say
that's
that.
That's right.
Throw out demons in my name. Yes. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison, not be hurt. They'll lay hands on the sick and make them well.
Amen.
We are told to do these things.
Yes.
So we take it very seriously that this is the commission that he gave us as he left this earth.
Yes.
He was serious about that. We just read in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, mm-hmm. for God was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the commission that we all have too. It wasn't just for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It is for us that we learn who we are. In
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
So then we go over to Luke. Let's go over to Luke just a minute, and I'll tell you where as soon as I find it. And let's go to Luke. Let's go to start with Luke 10, verse 1. Later, the master selected 70, and he sent them ahead of him. This was after the initial 12 disciples. Then he selected 70. I'm in Luke 10, 1. And he sent them ahead of him in pairs. God mm-hmm. loves us to work in pairs because, you know, he talks about that in the prayer of agreement, mm-hmm. Matthew 18:18, that when you agree, two of you agree is touching anything, you know? Why, Madeline, is this so important, the pairs thing? What is that about?
Well, you know, he likes when we work together. God likes when we're with someone else. And it's just, you know, it's that extra strength of two believers,
yes.
two or more believers
yes.
that are, you know, working together with God.
Ooh.
And it's that, what do you call that? The threefold cord?
Cord yes. is not easily broken from
right.
Ecclesiastes 4:19.
That's, you know, intense power.
Yes.
And, you know, he's loving that. He's
mm-hmm.
loving that. He wants us to come together and seek him.
And when we have prayer of agreement, we know we're on the same page. You know, prayer of agreement means I agree with you on what mm-hmm. needs to be done here.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday nights, we're doing the prayer groups at the end of our Bible study, which is great. You're one of the leaders. What are you doing in your little prayer group? Nathan's in your prayer
yes,
group.
We are.
And
mm-hmm.
when you're not there, he fills in for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it you're doing in your prayer group, Madeline? Explain that.
Well, we started out, you know, kind of talking, and those of us that don't know each other very well, there's a couple of new people new to me in the group. And so we talk about what we would like prayer for, and some people have unspoken prayers and some people specify what they'd like.
Right.
And we go around the group saying how our week went before that, now that we've been into it for a month or two. And we send out those prayers during the week by email so that we can
yeah.
be praying for each other. And just that continuous knowing you have a group of people that are praying for you, whether
six
specific
or, eight, yeah.
or
yeah.
you know, just general prayers. That mm. is really, I mean, I take comfort in that, and I love doing it for them because we know we've got people praying for us on mm-hmm. a continuous basis.
And then there's praise reports that happen.
Exactly.
And it's so cool. Nan, you're one of those. You have a group, and it's cool, isn't it, to see. I know you don't have a microphone in front of you, but she is nodding yes when I say this. But it is neat to see the results of those prayers that go up in prayer of agreement. And what we're doing when we're praying like that in our prayer groups is basically we're saying, okay, devil, stop right here. No, you're not going to continue doing this in this person's life. We take authority in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do that because Jesus gave us the authority.
Yes, he did.
Like we just read in Mark 16:15-18, if you just joined us. Those are the final words of Jesus before he goes up into heaven, the last few words. And he is talking about, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to go lay hands on the sick. I want you to go cast out demons. I want you to know your authority and use your authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying. You know, he didn't say, oh, well, I hope y'all have a happy life down here because I'm going to heaven where it's all really cushy. See ya. You know, it wasn't like that at all. He left us with an assignment.
Yes.
Me being a teacher years ago in public schools and a teacher of the word now, I love to give homework. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Because homework causes you to have to think again about what was just taught.
Mm-hmm.
It causes you to have to, like, put it into practice and maybe comment on it or write something in your journal about it or whatever. Let's go back to Luke 10 and see what he says here in verse 2 of Luke 10.
Mm.
What a huge harvest.
Mm-hmm.
How few the harvest hands.
Mm.
On your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands. Why do we need harvest hands? We did a whole series last year on harvest hands. What is a harvest hand? Why are they needed, Nathan?
Well, harvest hands are those people that go about doing the works that God has commanded us to do.
Right.
And why do we need them?
Yeah.
Because there are so many people in this world that need to know the Lord.
They need to know the Lord.
And they need to know that God is good.
Amen. Amen. And so often we find in our daily routine of life,
mm-hmm.
people come across our paths who need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. Don't you think, Madeline?
I do. And, you know, God needs us to do the work. He's not going to do it. He gave us the authority to do his work
exactly.
on earth.
Exactly.
So if we don't put into practice what we're learning and what we're hearing from God, it's not going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get done.
And you're right. Like you said, Nathan, people, we need to be working together. We need to be touching lives out there. You know, I remember something you said a long time ago to me. I don't even know how many years ago. That helped me to just start looking around, recognizing people that are in my path.
Right.
Because it's so easy to just stay focused on your
mm-hmm.
path. You know, I kind of grew up like that in New York. you know, use eyes forward, you know, these invisible blinders on the sides, because there's way too much chaos going on out there. You could really be distracted, and it's scary. And I, you know, I had to break out of that a little bit, you know, and just say, okay, it's, I don't have to put myself in danger. I'm just going to look out and see people around there and recognize need. And I, it could be as simple as I'm just going to say a prayer for someone. I said, don't have to go pick them up off the street. Right. I just have to be aware and recognize their needs.
Yes, because sometimes that's all God's wanting you to do anyway, is just pray for them. Do you have a comment to that?
Oh, she said it all.
She said it. Okay, because I agree. It is time for us to get out of our little four walls. Mm-hmm. And they may not mean the four walls of your house. It may mean the little box that you have yourself into sometimes, where you have on those blinders, mm-hmm. and you're not seeing the needs of people around you. And it's so we're so centered on our own needs so often, on our own concerns, that when somebody's crying out, sometimes we don't even hear it, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing you got to know for sure, though, when you label yourself Christian, people are watching you.
Exactly. Yeah.
They are looking at you to see, okay, you call yourself a Christian. Let's see if you are a Christian.
Right. Absolutely. And
you know, the world seems to have a better definition of what a Christian is than some Christians do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's so many times that we just don't step out of our comfort mm-hmm. zone. Mm-hmm. You know, we get so used to being deaf to the needs of others. I remember when I had my first child, I won't tell you what year that was, when Ryan was born. And I remember that prior to that, people have often said, do you ever sleep in? I said, yeah, I did. The last time I did was August. Well, now I'm going to tell you the year. 1973. That's the last time I slept till noon. Mm. And, whoa, why not? Because once you start having kids, mm-hmm. you're not, like, able just to hang out and sleep till noon, you know, type thing. And I remember when he was a baby, you know, your ears, you have children, mm-hmm. you know what happens. Instead, maybe you used to be a sound sleeper. Now when you've got a baby, the least little thing, and your ears pick up, and you're like, oh, I got to get up, or I got to see what's going on, whatever. So you become more sensitive mm-hmm. because there's been a change in your life. See where I'm going with this?
Yep.
And Madeline's going, no, don't get it. Yeah. When there's a change, when there's a decision, mm-hmm. you know, when something has happened to alter your life circumstances, you begin to hear with different ears, mm-hmm. see with different eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
See what I'm saying?
Just what I meant before, you know, taking the blinders off. And, you know, now it's where that was the norm for me, staying self-centered, looking straight ahead, you know, not going outside of my comfort zone. I was real scared of that, of approaching people mm-hmm. in any way. And even though I wanted to, and I remember you saying that too, that when you get that feeling, mm-hmm. that's God. Mm-hmm. And I used to feel bad when I would ignore it because I was afraid. I was afraid of the reaction or whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, you do it and you do it where you're safe, you know.
Right.
And I'm happy now that, you know, I have bet more experiences. I'm still self-centered, and I have to, you know, have to remind myself. I can't always stay there. Sometimes you have to, you know, look into, check in with yourself and make sure everything's okay. But I'm much happier
right.
knowing that I can do this. And God, you know, when God puts somebody in your heart, he's going to help you. Mm-hmm. He's going to guide you to
Absolutely.
Know what to say or do. Mm-hmm. And the few not great experiences I had weren't that bad.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, earth shattering. Mm-hmm. It was okay. They didn't want the help. It's okay.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
So it becomes a need in our lives, the more we grow up in God, to be available
yes.
to do what God wants us to do. And sometimes it's simply wake up in the middle of the night and pray for somebody.
Yep.
It's not that you have to get dressed and go to the hospitals and lay hands on people.
That's true.
Although you can do that too. There's been many times, and you know, Madeline, when we went through all that with Jeannie for so many years, there were times that we ministered to her roommates. Mm-hmm. You know, there were times that they could hear us praying for her and they were blessed by what was going on. And God opened those doors of opportunity so many times.
And I think too, even like with those people that we may not have, you know, prayed for them directly or whatever, a seed is planted.
Yes.
They hear something.
Yes.
That person that I went up to that didn't necessarily want my prayer, who knows what happened mm-hmm. after.
Right.
That, you know, a little nugget got placed in there that maybe
Absolutely.
They got to think, and who knows what happened after that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just so often we don't understand that God wants to use us even in the daily lives. And we don't understand how the devil is working overtime to keep us from being used.
Yes.
Okay? Because he really does not want us stepping out praying for somebody, even if we don't go lay hands on that person, but we just pray for them from a distance. Mm-hmm. The devil doesn't want you praying, mm-hmm. period.
No.
The devil does not want you praying because why does he want you praying? Why not, Nathan? Why not?
Because when you're praying, it upsets his apple cart.
It upsets his schedule. It upsets his plans and what he's going to do in that person. But you know what? We are called to be intercessors.
Yes.
And it says in Ezekiel, we are called to stand in the gap for people. You know, the gap between God's answer for them and what the devil is doing to them.
Right.
We are called to stand in that place. Notice stand, because that's what we're talking about today. We've been teaching the book of Ephesians, God's goodness, grace, and glory. And we started out in Ephesians 1 and 2 with we are seated with him in heavenly places. And when we get that within us, that we're up here, we don't have to let the devil defeat us. When we really get that, then we went into Ephesians 4 and 5, where we were really talking about how it is we walk each day, how we love, how we walk in kindness. We've talked about that for the last couple of weeks.
How we trample on the serpents and scorpions.
Yeah. I mean, how is it we're walking, you know?
That's right. Right.
We're doing that. But now we're at the end of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we're learning how to stand in the midst of what the devil throws at us. He's going to. Is he not, Madeline? Is he going to throw things at us? And why does he do it?
Well, all the time, and especially when he sees we're in a weak spot, when we're, you know, feeling down because of circumstance, when we're letting our mind take us back into past hurts, and he stands by ready because he wants to break us down. He knows that God wants to build us up, and he knows that when we pray for people and do all these things, that not only does our faith get built up, but changes happen because when we do the things that God calls us to do, his work through us makes changes.
Yes, it does.
And the devil
Amen.
Will fight double and triple time to stop us. So he'll throw all these things, these, you know, these words, these memories, these things in our path so that we get distracted from praying and doing our good works. And we start to feel self-centered again, pity ourselves, you know, harbor on our misfortune and the things that we don't have in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't let them win because... It's just no good can come of that.
And that's exactly the trick and scheme of the devil. Because if he can get us so wrapped up in ourselves, so wrapped up in the injustices that are done to each of us, you know, so wrapped up in the hurts that we have received in the past, or maybe we're continuing to receive those hurts. If he can get us all consumed by that, we don't even kind of notice the people right around us that need ministry or prayer. You know, we just don't pay attention.
No.
You know, so often we don't pay attention. And what God is saying is we got to come out of our
pity box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody likes to go to those pity parties.
No.
I mean, when you get invited, you want to go?
No.
No. Say, I'm not going. I'm not RSVPing on that one. No way. No way.
And can I confess an experience today that happened that is making me think of this? This happened today when a bunch of us went out to lunch after church, and we had a not great experience at the place we went to eat. We felt... we weren't being treated well.
Okay.
And I, you know, we started, and myself included, I definitely was not happy. And I, you know, in my head, I was trying to say to myself, this is not a big deal. Just, you know, okay, God, you know, wash this out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes you start talking and it escalates in your mind, even bigger than what is actually happening. And I feel like that started to happen today, and I'm not happy about that. So I'm confessing that was not a good thing because it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. What matters is how I behave.
Exactly.
And I say that I'm not happy with the way I was behaving, so I'm just going to tell God I'm going to ask God for forgiveness for that today.
Right.
Because I felt like, you know, I could have handled a little more gracefully, especially after such a great service.
Wow.
And that just goes to show the devil in action.
Right there.
Because he saw a weak point in me.
Right.
And he said, ooh, I'm going to stick my little finger in there and poke that bear and get her all irritated and aggravated.
Poke that bear.
And I let him for a little while. Uh-huh. And then we, you know, I've talked to some other people there and we tried to de-escalate a little bit.
Right.
You know, and walk out without, you know, any more further ugliness.
Mm. Right. Right.
Let's say that. But he stirred me up. I let him. I let him get me today.
Well, I'm glad you admit that because when we see that we do this, to be able to admit it and get it out in the open, mm-hmm. the devil's power just goes down a
it's
notch.
It's diminished.
Goes down, isn't it? It's diminished. Because now he knows, oh, well, that didn't work. Okay, I got to think of something else. You know, you're going to be more on guard the next time, mm-hmm. right?
Right. I feel like now that's planted in my head to remember.
Yes.
When I enter the next place, I'm already going to be, I'm going to be on top of that. I'm going to be like, okay.
Exactly.
I'm not going to let this happen again. Mm-hmm. So already take a deep breath mm-hmm. and do what you got to do to not mm-hmm. allow whatever may happen here to be something that makes you not reflect God's love.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Ooh, that just reminded me of Romans 8, starting with verse 37. Mm. Mm. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our mm-hmm. Lord. Mm-hmm. We've been made more than conquerors, and we're going to talk about that after this song, More Than Conquerors by Charlie LeBlanc.
Through the blood.
God. Mm. That's an old one. Mm. I'll tell you, we've done that song for 30, 40 years. Mm. But I told Connie I wanted that on the show today because that's who we are. We are more than conquerors. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And in the NIV, it says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, my. In the Message Bible, Nathan, can you figure it out? 10 through 12 right there. Can you read that in your Message Bible? Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Listen to it in the Message.
And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels.
So what I have to say to that is, if it was good enough for Jesus to come to this earth and fight the devil, because we just read Acts 10:38, how Jesus went about doing good, anointed of God, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to undo. That word in the original Greek is luo, L-U-O, and it talks about untie, untangle. You know, when your shoes are all tied, whopper-jawed, crazy, I tie mine in double knots sometimes because they come undone. And then it's so hard to get them all apart, you know. And you know what I'm talking about. Or when a first grader is learning to tie their shoes, you know, and then just the ties are going everywhere. And it, or a knot. You get a knot in something. Get a knot in a necklace, you know. Yeah. And you just want to get, but you can't seem to get it untied, you know. Jesus came to untie, undo. That word is luo, undo, untie, untangle, disentangle us from the power of the devil. What does that say to you, Madeline? Talk to me about that. Does that make an impression on you? Say yes, and then amplify on it.
Yes.
Okay. Now you have to amplify on it.
Well, as you both were reading, the thought popped into my head that the difference between when I went to church my whole life as a young person, you know, from as early as I can remember till, I guess, late teenage, I would go to church on Sunday, and that was it. I didn't do Bible study. I don't remember going any other time except for when I was in school. You went to release time. I don't even remember what that was. You learned something in there. It didn't retain. But the difference there was church was on Sunday. God was at church. And I may have said, thank you, God, or ask God for things, you know, during the week. But there was no communication. And when you were reading this verse, I was thinking to myself, now when I go to church on Sunday and Wednesday and sometimes Thursday and sometimes Saturday, and there's all kinds of days going on there.
Yes,
you know, the great
is.
Thing about church now that I've learned and I'm still learning, and yeah. still have to practice more, is that we do reading, we do studying, we do praying, active talking to God, you know, speaking in tongues, whatever it all is that we do every single day. And I don't know how we could be prepared to do any of this, wear the armor of God, have our, you know, our weapons for the devil ready, if I only went to church on Sunday and talked to God for that 1 hour and went home and just blahed my way through the rest of the week.
Yes.
You know, I feel like this has to be a conscious, constant,
it is.
Consistent,
it is.
Everyday, intentional.
Intentional. That's the word of the hour.
Relationship.
Whoops, I messed up my bell. Okay.
And if we are doing that,
right.
this is no problem.
Right.
This will all fall into
yes.
place. We are ready when anything comes up against us. And when we're not, I know when I'm not doing all of those things, when I'm not saying my prayers, reading my Bible, whatever it all is that I do to try to stay with God all week, that's when, again, Satan's ready. It's like, oh, there she
yep.
is
yep.
all week, not praying, sitting on the couch, watching TV. snacking, week.
Bang.
And he sails
Absolutely,
in.
That's
and
it.
He starts all the stuff. You don't need to go to church. Oh, you don't feel so good, right? You deserve a Sunday off.
Right, you deserve
to sleep in. You never sleep in. Why don't you just take this Sunday off and stay home and just give yourself what
yourself
you deserve.
Yeah.
You see all that psychobabble.
Yeah. Psychobabble.
And when we reject that,
that's
when
right.
we keep all of our ducks in a row, so
yes.
to speak,
yes.
then all
yes.
the spiritual forces of evil coming against us, see ya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do the Wonder Woman deal.
Oh, yes.
You know? And he's out
deflect
of there.
Absolutely.
He cannot beat God.
Mm-hmm. No, but it takes us being consistent mm-hmm. and not letting our guard down. Because, and we can get lazy mm-hmm. in the things of God. Did you want to comment
well,
on all that?
Sometimes I think, not only that, though, sometimes the liar
yes.
comes to us and tells us that you haven't been made more
right.
than a conqueror.
Yeah.
The Word of God says we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers.
Right.
We've been made more.
Yes.
What's more than a conqueror?
A big, huge conqueror.
Yeah, I am. I am more than
right.
a conqueror.
Right.
But, you know, there are times when I really don't feel like more than a conqueror. Well, why do I not feel that way? Well, maybe because I haven't prayed much this week, or I haven't
right.
been in the Word.
That's exactly
right. Or I haven't
right.
been to church. Or,
right.
you know, what is it that you have not been
mm-hmm.
doing
mm-hmm.
that will allow the enemy to come and accuse you in such a way?
That's
because,
exactly
see,
right.
he needs an opening.
Yeah.
He needs an opening, and all he needs is a crack. He
That's
just
it.
Needs a little space where he can
yes.
get his big fat toe in.
Right.
And then he goes to work on it.
And he knows our weaknesses. One of
yes.
you said this a minute ago. Our Achilles heels,
yes.
you know, the areas where we've been trapped up before. And I propose to you that a lot of times these are deep fractures. They're hurts that have been there for a long time. And it's almost like we become a magnet to the same kind of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Here, hit me again. Oh, here, hit me again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like people that are with an abused spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I've counseled many such people through the years. And it's like they have this sign on their forehead that says, oh, come abuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the world has even made a saying for it, the devil you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
Okay, so yes,
explain
this is
that.
Abusive.
Some people may not know what that means, the devil you know.
Devil you know is worse than the devil you don't know. So here I am in my self-abusive situation, in my abusive situation. And although it's horrible and terrible and I'm not happy, I know it. I know how to deal with it.
And so, and I'll,
right.
I'll stay right
and
here.
And I can just stay stuck there because I don't know what's out there. There could be worse.
Right. Could be
right.
worse.
There could be
exactly.
nobody. There could be nothing.
Yes.
I don't know when I'm in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that we gave him the power of making that horrible phrase
mm-hmm.
is no good.
Right.
Mm.
Absolutely. Mm. And, but you're, go ahead.
Just the fact that Satan's such a liar.
He's yes.
Such, and he tries to defeat us
right.
by replacing the truth with a lie.
Absolutely.
He replaces the truth with
a
lie.
He totally does.
I mean, we have psychobabble, I guess. It's, we have this tape that's constantly
right.
running in
yes.
our minds of who we are.
Right.
Of who I am. Who are you, Nathan?
Yeah.
You know, and well, the Bible says I'm more than a conqueror.
There you go.
Yeah, but do you really believe that? Do you
right.
really think you are more than a conqueror?
Exactly. And then the devil brings up the old things.
Oh.
You know, and this is one thing. One way you can tell if this is the voice is from Satan or from God. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple ways. But one way is God will bring peace when
yes.
he's talking to you. And if he's trying to correct you for something that you've done wrong, it's going to be a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be condemnation.
Yes.
The
mm-hmm.
devil uses condemnation. Just beat you the heck up.
Beat you to the
And the other thing is that God is always present, future.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. I never got to this today in the sermon. God is always present, future. He's
mm-hmm.
he's talking about your present now and here where we go.
Mm-hmm.
Because God does not want us wallowing around in our past.
Mm.
So when we are wallowing around mm. in our past, mm. that's the devil.
Because
Psalm 103 says this. Okay, it says that when we ask God to forgive us, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Mm. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far has he removed our transgressions. From the east to the west, mm-hmm. has he removed our transgressions from us. When we confess our sins, that's 1 John 1:9. Now I just switched from mm-hmm. Psalm 103. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful.
Yes.
To forgive us our sins.
Yes.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if we don't ask forgiveness mm. and we want to wallow in it, we give the devil the playground. Open the key mm. to the playground. Come on in and play yes. right here in my mind. You want to comment on that?
Well, we know that, you know, just from scripture, that we know when we ask forgiveness and we're sincere, that God forgives us and it's done. He
it's
doesn't
done.
Think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's ourselves and the devil
yes.
that make us feel guilt
yes.
and brings things up again and keeps us wallowing, like you just said, in those deeds that we feel bad about. But between God and us, it's done.
Mm-hmm. It's done.
Once we sincerely ask forgiveness, he has forgiven us the end.
This is huge. Right now, listen to this, listening audience. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins, mm-hmm. right? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you know you've confessed it, let's say that you did something terrible 2 years ago. I mean, really terrible, you know, cheated on your spouse or I don't know what, stole something or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. You did something really bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you were in a temper tantrum. You beat your spouse or you hit your spouse or whatever. And you ask your spouse to forgive you for that. And you ask God to forgive you for that. Okay, and you still find today that it keeps coming up and you keep feeling bad about it and you keep mm. just going back over it. Oh, I'm such a worm. I'm horrible. Mm. How can that be God? God is not doing that. He is present, future. The devil is present, past. Okay, the devil doesn't want you looking at your future because mm. when you are trusting God, mm. your future looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the devil doesn't want you going present future. He wants you going present past. Everybody got
mm-hmm.
that? And so we learn, okay, wait a minute.
Yes.
For heaven's sake, I already confessed that mm-hmm. thing 2 years ago. Ask you to forgive me, God. Oh, it's not you, God. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's not you, God. So here's what I got to do. In the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. I take authority over this lie that mm-hmm. is harassing me right now.
Yes.
And I refuse it. I'm getting a little animated
yes,
here about
you are.
This
yes,
because I believe it. I believe yeah. it with all my heart. I do
yes.
it. I ever and I absolutely refuse to go back there,
mm-hmm.
devil.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking to me. You're a liar and the father of lies.
That's right.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Bookends. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Just let that old liar
go. We've got to do it, guys. We have got to be the ones who does this. We have a free will. God's given us free will. He's not going to cross our will. He's not going to make us take authority over the devil. Comment on that. Nathan, you want to comment on that? He's not going to make us do that.
No, because he's already given us the authority. He's already given it to us.
Yes. And we read that in Mark
16. And he's not going to take it back.
Right.
And he fights a battle through us.
Right. Exactly.
He won't fight a battle for us,
right?
But he'll fight the battle through us.
And he will fight it through us, and he
yes.
expects us to learn.
And expects us to learn to fight.
I know I've used this example before, but Nathan, your kids, my kids, you know, when they were little, we did not think, and we did think how cute they were. I remember,
oh my gosh,
they were so precious. And Mark had just white hair. He was just, oh, such a beautiful child, and he still is now as a man. But I mean, back then, I remember thinking, oh, I just want to cherish this mm-hmm. time that he's two, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. he was just so adorable, as were Ryan and Lori, too. But I can just picture Mark right now with that snow white hair. And, you know, he didn't run very fast because he had little tiny, what we call chicky legs. And he played, you know, T-ball, and we'd go, run, Marky, run, you know, and he was just so adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 34 now, mm-hmm. and if he were still that size mm-hmm. right now,
mm-hmm. you'd be worried. There'd be something wrong.
He had to grow up. He had to grow up.
That's right.
And all through those growing up years, yeah, they change. They get mm-hmm. pimples and wear braces. But look at where he is now, the handsome man of God that he is now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to stay back as mm-hmm. babies, folks. We don't want to stay as children. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5 K233BF, Little Rock.
Wow, that's a lot of stations, and we are so glad for the expansion of this radio network, and we're in a lot of different places now, and it's exciting, isn't it, Bill?
Very exciting, and when is your anniversary coming up?
It is going to be on April 15th, tax day, and it is going to be here, and we are going to do something, we're not sure what, but it's going to be great, and it will celebrate 5 years on this radio station. We'll plan it at the last minute, and it'll be great. It will be great.
It's going to be a large party.
Mm-hmm. It will be a large party. Mm-hmm. So 5 years is a big landmark, and we're excited to continue with our Tantalk family here, Lola and Dave and Engineer Bill and the gang.
So that means on the anniversary, Nathan, Madeline, and Aaron going to be playing together.
Maybe. Never know what we're going to do.
I'd like to see that.
You'd like to awesome. See it live in the studio?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
Never know.
Not enough room in the studio.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll do something.
Burk, 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 burk.
Oh, my. So this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and we are a global ministry, and God is doing so many wonderful things. Mm-hmm. We just had our first hour. Every Sunday we're on 4 to 6 live. Tell a friend. Tell them to tune in. We go around the world with this radio broadcast. If you're some of you in the station right now, not in the station, but watching us by web, watching us on the internet,
mm-hmm.
Yes, can see us right here in the studio. And I've got Madeline to my right and Nathan to my left. And we're excited to be here. And can you tell we're kind of fired up about the subject?
Kind of fired up.
Just a bit. We welcome you to the services of Beacon of Hope Sunday morning at 10. Tell us about that, and then you can talk about Bible study.
Okay.
Sunday morning at 10. We're there at 9, praise team, practicing and praying and getting ready and fired up. And 10 o'clock, the music starts and goes on for we don't know how long. It could be 30 minutes. It could be close to an hour. It just depends on what God is doing that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then pastor comes on and gives a powerful sermon, and people get healed, and
delivered.
It's just a good, wonderful, intense
it's great,
time.
It?
It's, yeah. It's, good, it's good stuff.
And then every Sunday at 4 live here on the radio. Right. What happens on Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope?
Wednesday night at 6:15, we start with a prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we pray for different requests that each members have, and also we get prayer requests from Indiana. And
all over, yeah. We do.
Atlanta, from Georgia.
Sure.
From pretty much anywhere. And we take them to the Lord in prayer. And we also use a book called The Prayers Avail Much, Prayers That Avail Much by Gloria.
It's Jermaine Copeland.
Jermaine Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the word. We pray the word.
It's exciting.
And it's exciting. It's wonderful. And then it's 7 o'clock or thereabouts. Pastor brings to us a lesson, something that he teaches us from the Word of God to build us up,
yeah,
to strengthen us, to help us to grow.
Right.
I mean, we get good food on Wednesday
Amen.
Night.
Amen.
We are fed well. And it's a fun time because it's a sharing time. It's a time where pastor doesn't do all the talking.
Oh, no.
We all chip in.
Right.
You know, different ones, you know.
Interactive.
That's
yes,
it.
Yes, sure
and
is.
We just, and it's a good time.
It's fun,
a good
it?
Time is had by all.
Amen. We look forward to Wednesdays.
Yes, we
I do. It's a highlight of my week. I love it. So, yes, we welcome you wherever you are. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit us. And we're trying to work on getting these services out there to people in a different format. We're going to see how that works. But anyway, we're glad you joined us today for this second hour of Living the Good Life. Listen to this song by Chris August, Battle.
There's a battle between good and evil. It's raging inside of me. There's a struggle, it's God and the devil. It's love against the enemy. Whoa, oh, oh no, I'm not giving up now. Whoa, oh, oh. Life's a fight of wrong and right. beautiful apple tree. There is trouble on the horizon, but I'm claiming victory. Whoa, oh, oh no, I'm not giving in now. Whoa, oh, oh. Life's a fight of wrong and right that's tearing me apart. Oh, but what the cross has done. Yeah, the world will try to battle for my heart, but the war is on.
Praise God. Woo. All right. That's a powerful song. Mm-hmm. We welcome you to use your email to contact us and even talk to us right now if you want to. That is always a good thing. And you can just write pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And one of our people that was in my church in Indiana that moved down here 2 or 3 years ago and became a part of Beacon of Hope and then moved back to Indiana, just emailed Cindy Logan. Do you want to read it, Madeline?
Sure. It says, "Hey, gang, miss everyone and hope to pay a visit soon. God has blessed my life so much since returning to Indiana and performing in his will. Please continue to pray for our family, all children and grandchildren, especially for son Mike. Some change is taking place, but still needs the blessing of the right job and to receive healing for this problem with addiction. Also, wife Kelly to receive the new job she's applied for. God's protection has surrounded their household in spite of the devil's tricks, as their home has not been foreclosed on as of yet, with no payment being made in almost 2 years.
Mm. Wow.
The bank is willing to work with them if Mike can get a job soon to be able to make a payment each month. Thank you all and blessings."
Wow. That's wow. Great. Yes. And speaking of that, Madeline, the prayer line that we have at Beacon of Hope, do you want to tell about that and why we have that for this very reason right here? When people have needs.
Right. So you can email in, and I never remember the email
address.
Prayers@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And just send in your prayers, and they get sent out to the prayer team who will pray for you. And we love to hear what your needs are, and then we love to hear your praise reports after if you wanted to share that. And believe me, there are people praying, you know, for those prayers.
Absolutely.
Intensely. And we love doing it. Because we really can, a lot of times, you know, you get a sense when you get someone's prayer request of just being passionate about praying for that person. Mm-hmm. and getting, you know, spiritually involved.
Absolutely. And when I was on the way here, I got a call from Carol, who will be on the radio next week. She's part of our radio team. Her partner, Maxine, who's also our webmaster, her mother went to be with the Lord this morning at age 94, almost 95,
oh,
Granny
wow.
Mae. And Granny Mae really was in good physical condition, but was getting ready to meet the Lord and really wanted to go. So she went to be with the Lord this morning. Mm-hmm. So we need to remember Maxine and her brothers and their families and, the children and so forth. And mm-hmm. we know Granny Mae's with Jesus. So, but anyway, so we welcome you to let us know what's going on in your life through prayers@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And we will pray for you. When we tell you that we will do it. Today we are talking about the schemes of the devil, that he is real and he's out there doing all kinds of stuff all of the time. And, you know, his goal is to get us so beat down that we don't rise up and pray for others. We brought that point out in the first hour, that his goal is to distract. You know, distractions, I think, are huge, don't you, Madeline? Mm-hmm. In our lives, distractions
It's so easy. I mean, I do it. To me, TV is a great distraction for me when I don't want to deal with something.
Yeah.
I can get lost in the stories of others, and I can just put my, you know, whatever my trial is at the time in the back. And, of course, it's still there waiting for me. And usually it's worse because I didn't deal with it when I should have dealt with it.
Right.
And that's definitely a daily struggle for me. And I, you know, I talk to God about that because I do like to just get lost a little bit in things. And even when things are not, you know, I'm not having a trial or tribulation, it's just a way to zone out somehow. And, you know, I grew up with it. I grew up with it in every room of the house, except the bathroom, thank God. Literally. I mean, it was on during meals. It was on in the living room. I had one in my bedroom, even as a young kid when, you know.
Wow.
So it's ingrained in me.
Yes.
I've been really trying to not do this now. I'll go home. I'll click it on. I'm not even looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the chatter in the background that's familiar to me. That is just, you know, and I have no clue what's happening. I'm going about my business in the house, but, you know, and then inevitably it draws me over,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it'll take me away from doing things that, you know, would be better for me to do. And so that's, you know.
And we're not saying it's bad to watch TV or movies or whatever.
Right.
We're not saying that, but it's priorities in our lives. Nathan, I want you to talk about that, the priorities and how important it is when it comes to this fighting the devil.
Mm.
I mean, don't you think that this is huge? I mean, a huge problem for a lot of people.
Yes, I think it's a very huge problem, especially TV. To me, there really is no good news on television.
Right.
There really isn't. I mean, there are Christian networks that bring about the good news, but they are few and far between.
Right.
There are so many more channels that are wasteless fluff or bad news.
Right, bad news.
You know, that's just bad.
And it becomes a matter of deciding, all right, do I need to be working on my spiritual life today? You know, I'm consistently now going to the gym almost every day, mm-hmm. you know, in the morning. And I'm feeling so much better physically. And it's just more energy, you know, because I'm making this effort. And when I miss a day, I feel it. I can feel, oh, I didn't go to the gym today. I'm kind of, you know, dragging. Because walking and walking fast and walking at quite a ramp now. But when walking at that, it really does make you feel better. You know, because you're actively doing something for your health, for your heart and whatever. And I think that it's the same thing spiritually. Madeline, talk about that spiritually, because so often I think we can just get sluggish. We can just get down in the dumps and forget to, you know, like Nathan said, not make it a priority.
And, you know, it's no one said it was going to be easy. You know, it's okay that, you know, it feels like a chore, maybe getting in a routine. And it's you're right when you say, I've always said, it's always hard in the starting, you know, getting yourself up, whatever that is, to go to the gym or to read the Bible or whatever it is that you're going to do. But you always feel better after. And that should be the motivation. And, you know, sometimes, even though I know it, intellectually, it's still hard for me to get moving, but I know the reward. I know what's going to happen after. And you're right when you said it's okay to watch TV. No one's saying don't watch TV. It's just a matter of whatever it is in your life that maybe it's just you're doing a lot of that and not, you know, getting yourself fed with what you need. It's just a matter of prioritizing and making room.
Absolutely.
It's okay. Balance.
Room.
You know, have a little enjoyment here where you need it and here. But, you know, inevitably, you know, God is going to give you so much more enjoyment because there's so much to be had. Not just this one TV show that I'm watching. I'll get a morsel here. But from God, I'm going to get full.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't
and overflowing.
It, isn't that true? And we so often just we're so lackadaisical, I guess, about it. We're so lazy. In a lot of ways. And when you were talking there, it reminded me of James 4:7-8. So let's go there a minute. James 4:7-8. And it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. We're going to come back to that point. But here's verse 8. Come near to God. In some translations, it says draw near to God. But come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And, you know, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He will lift you up. really what that is saying is he expects us to do the drawing close to him, and then he will draw mm-hmm. close to us. Mm-hmm. And so often we think, oh, well, I haven't heard from God lately. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you have a friend that you email back and forth and you just don't bother to send an email for 6 or 8 weeks. And you wonder, well, why don't they ever email me? What's the matter? Why don't they ever email me, you know? And we need to personally take responsibility, mm-hmm. personal responsibility. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and all of that made me think too, you know, we know as intelligent human beings what we need to be doing.
Right.
You know, we know what's right for us and what's wrong for us. And just like we know that we're supposed to put certain foods into our body because they're healthy for us and we feel better. We talked about this at church recently. You know, it is important what we put into our minds, what we watch on TV, the music we hear, the people we associate with,
yes.
what we're willing to take in versus, that's not for me and I don't want to be around that. And all of that is so important because it's what, you know, God gave us this body, this physical body, and then this spirit. And all of it needs the right healthy, good ingredients.
Exactly.
For us to feel good. I mean, I know when I go eat, you know, not so much what I ate today, but there's days where I eat some things and I'm like, that helped me get on the couch and put on the TV because now I'm sluggish. I ate carbs. I'm tired. You know, it's
right.
all of that.
Right.
And it really is so simple. God made us perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He gave us all the key ingredients that we need for our lives, but it's so hard. I always say sometimes I wish that, you know, I could wake up tomorrow and all of technology would be gone.
Right.
Because then I wouldn't be tempted. I'd love to live in the little house on the prairie times where I have to get up and work for my food and commune
right.
with nature and be with people all the time. Not,
right.
you know, not with my, we're all sitting in a room and who's on their cell phones, you know, as happens today. And it's just, it's so simple. We have to be disciplined and it's hard. It's hard. Hard.
You know, you're exactly right. And you ever sit in a restaurant and watch people that maybe they've been married forever or been together forever, and they just sit there and look mm-hmm. around at other people. They don't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that the other night in a restaurant, and there they are sitting around. And then the next table was some people, and they were all on their individual cell phones texting mm-hmm. people. Nobody was talking to each other. Mm. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what a commentary mm-hmm. on where we are right now in society. And so this verse, back to James 4, Nathan, comment on this. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you.
Personal responsibility.
There it is.
You know, it just says, it's implied you draw close to God.
Absolutely.
And he will draw close to you.
Right.
The noun of that sentence,
yeah.
the subject of that sentence is you.
You. You.
You know, or me. You know, I should
it
draw
is.
Close to God.
It's our responsibility.
And draw close to me.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, for me, if I don't get into the Word when I first get up in the morning,
right.
then I'm probably not going to get into the Word.
Because and a lot of people are that way.
Because there's a lot of things
right.
that come my way during
right,
the day.
Exactly.
That takes my attention.
Right.
You know, that pulls me away from it.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So I try to get up and get into the Word.
Right.
You know, brush my teeth.
Right.
Get into the Word.
I know. And so we, and then the rest of this, let's go back up to verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Mm. Do we really believe that?
Yes.
Resist the devil?
Yes.
I believe that. You,
yes.
the two of you do. But I mean, I'm just saying in general, do people really believe that we can resist the devil? And I'm going to come to both of you. And what does it mean to do that? And do we really believe that he will run from us? And why would he do that? Did you get all those questions?
I did. I think I did.
All right. You try it. You go.
I think some people believe that. I don't know how much. I know I didn't before. You know, I
right.
knew the devil was this concept, this thought. I don't really know what I thought. I knew there was a heaven and hell. And for whatever reason, I chose not to think about that or, you know, hear it. Or I just, you know, it was this thing that sounded too awful for me to, because mm-hmm. it wasn't explained. Things weren't told to me about how we can have authority and all of that. And so I think some people do, but maybe they were like me and they don't have the information that's
mm-hmm.
necessary to
absolutely.
Know how to resist the devil and mm-hmm. that he would flee from you. And I think that that, yes, he will flee from us, especially when we are, you know, actively resisting him. And I wrote down before, you know, one of, you know, my favorite Graham Cook CDs, you know, I kind of focused on, you know, seek the Lord with all your heart and you will find him. And there's the condition there to seek the Lord with all your heart. And when I'm not doing that, when I'm sitting again, here I am in front of the TV again, but I might have my Bible open on a little table I have near the TV with me. And when I'm seeking the Lord with all my heart, the TV's off. Mm-hmm. When I'm not, it's on, and I'm reading on commercials where I hit the mute button. And so I only have this little window of time, and I'm not seeking the Lord with all my heart. And you know what? There's a condition there. Yeah. I need to do that in order to hear from him. I don't think he doesn't want to squeeze in a word
just
in the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants me to be, and I'm not open, obviously, mm-hmm. because I'm now concentrating on two things, and the devil's loving that. Oh, boy, I'm going to shorten these commercials and make the TV show longer.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But I do believe when I shut the TV and I do what I'm supposed to be doing, he doesn't want to stick around for that. He doesn't want to hear me praying out loud and praising and all of that worshiping.
Right.
So, yes, he does flee.
He does
flee. I feel the difference when I'm allowing
too.
Him to
Absolutely.
Poke me around than when I'm like, see ya. There's no room for you here.
Well, you feel that you're just ramping up on the inside.
Yes.
Go ahead and comment, Nathan.
Oh, well, she said it all.
It doesn't?
Because if you're seeking the Lord with your whole heart,
right,
with your whole heart, there's nothing to draw your attention away
right.
from that.
You just,
there's no, you don't allow any distractions. You don't allow it. You don't allow anything to take your attention but seeking the Lord. You know, if that's reading his word or if that's praying
Amen.
Or whatever, you know.
Your attention
is on the Lord.
Amen. Always before we start a service, I turn my phone off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we could, and I know there's some people probably who don't turn their phones off, but when we have that possibility there of somebody trying mm-hmm. to talk to us, the devil is going to try
to definitely do it.
To get in there.
You know that phone's going to ring. if it's on, it's going to ring.
It will.
And it will ring at the least opportune moment.
Absolutely. Listen to this song by Jason Gray. Remind me who I am.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I like a stone, and I'm running far from home. Remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? So
who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
Never heard that song either. Wow, Connie, you're throwing some new ones at us. How cool. Tell me once again who I am to you. And that's talking to God. God, who am I to you? And in the lyrics of that song, you're my beloved. You're the one I love. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. When we realize who we are, that's the key here to fighting the devil. Madeline, talk to me about that. Why is it important to know who we are? And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Y'all, if you have your Bible out there in radio land, 1 Peter chapter 2.
For a couple of reasons, I think, one reason is because we get so down on ourselves that we need to go into the Word to remind us that God loves us, that we are perfect to Him, that He made us, and it's all okay. And it's I remember that I kind of would have been perfect to play that song now, but that Casting Crowns song, Who Am I?
Right.
I remember the first time I heard that, I just cried and cried and cried
right.
and cried.
Yes.
You know, because it really just made me feel like, wow, I'm okay.
Right.
With all of my flaws and scars and bad behavior and all of that stuff, you know, He loves me no matter what. And who doesn't need to know that? We have to know that and get that ingrained.
And if we get that down on the inside of us, then we realize that we have the right, the privilege, and we got to stamp out the junk the devil throws at us because we are the beloved. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, sometimes the devil, liar, convince us that we're not the beloved. He will, he will say, well, look at the junk that you used to do or that you've done.
Right.
Look at the lives that you've hurt or destroyed.
And there again, that's present
looking
past.
In the past, right. But that's his trick. He takes us back to the past and plays those nightmares over and over and over
and
over again.
Absolutely, he does.
Till he gets us down in the depths and to believing, well, how could God love me?
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Absolutely. You know. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Mm. Oh, my, I love that. A holy nation. So a royal priesthood, what do priests do? Madeline, I'm going to go back to your Catholic days. What do priests do?
Well, from the little I remember, they read from the Word.
They
guide you on, how you're supposed to live your life.
Right.
And they are, they're dressed in their, elaborate garb. Mm-hmm. And they I've always thought self-appointed.
Okay.
Officials.
Okay.
In that religion of God.
Okay. Mm. So what is God saying to us here that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood? What kind of priesthood do we need to be walking in right here?
Well, that we are standing in the gap.
Right, we are.
For those that need to know Him.
Yes.
That need to know God.
Absolutely.
Need to know Jesus. And that's, we are the priesthood for a lost nation.
So we need to be praying. We need to be taking authority over the attacks of the devil on behalf of people, perhaps even who don't even know how to do that.
Yes.
We need to be that. We're a chosen people, it says here in 1 Peter 2:9. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We just heard that in this song. We are the beloved. We are the ones that He loves. We're not talking about our little group. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all of us who know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior.
Yes.
We are a holy nation, a chosen people. And let's go on, belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light.
Yes.
Out of darkness. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Mm. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Mm. How is this changing our lives when we realize we have been called out of darkness into God's light? How does that translate into our daily lives, Madeline?
Well, for me, it makes me look at my life completely differently. Before, I was in the dark just by virtue of not knowing.
Right.
I didn't know.
Ignorance. A lot of people are just by ignorance.
I grew up in a Christian faith that I didn't get it. I didn't get enough information to know that I could pursue, a heart after God and participate in my life, not just, I guess God will take care of me somehow. I don't really know.
Right.
You know, and now that, I kind of understand more and know that I can, cultivate an incredible relationship with him.
Woo! Relationship with him, yeah.
Every day. I mean, he's in my life every day now, not just on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because before it wasn't even maybe because I didn't want to. I just didn't think I was supposed to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just thought, okay, I go on Sunday and whatever happens there. And,
right.
You know, it just was not a conscious existence. Mm-hmm. And now, I know all this stuff. I know he wants everything good for me. He wants me to have this full, abundant, wonderful life. And he wants me to talk about him and love people the way he loves me, and it's just all this goodness, greatness.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It gives you purpose.
Yes.
It does. Because I can't imagine waking up every day not knowing this now. Mm. How blah like existence would be, just not knowing that there's an eternal life for me, that he has a plan for me, that I can pursue that plan, that I can, I have talents and gifts that he gave me for a specific purpose, and he wants to stir that up in me and show me how to use it, and yay.
And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that not only Pastor Marcia or Father so-and-so or these people could have a special relationship with God, but I can have a special relationship with God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many people in the church, in the body of Christ right now that think that they have a franchise in this whole thing that we can't have.
Right. Exactly.
That they own a part of it that we will never have because we are who we are.
Right, right.
And so therefore,
and they consider maybe
they're slightly elevated in their relationship with God.
And we are all on the same level with God.
Yes.
God loves us all. For God so loved the world, not just the priesthood. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
So we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So out of darkness means that's the area where the devil just absolutely beats us up. The darkness of, and metaphorically, when we get depressed, so some people will close their blinds, shut their door, whatever, and not come out for a few days. What did you start to say?
I didn't. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So the darkness of our life is the devil working overtime. Mm-hmm. But I love what John chapter 1 says, that Jesus is the light, and it says he is the light, and the darkness cannot overpower the light.
Right.
Darkness cannot overpower the light.
And the thing of it is, the darkness also could not understand the light.
It cannot understand it.
Can't comprehend it.
It can't comprehend it.
And it flees. When the light comes, darkness flees.
Right.
So
that's what we're talking about today, is resisting the devil and he will flee.
Right.
Okay. And realizing that Jesus came and said, and this is, we're making full circle here, Acts 10:38 that we started with, how God anointed Jesus with power and with the Holy Ghost, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed
by
the devil. You see Jesus so often calling it for what it is. Oh, well, you got a demon. We need to take care of that, or, this is the devil working in your life. You remember the lady that was bent over one of the Gospels, I think it's Mark, where she was bent clear over and she had a spirit of infirmity that had been upon her for 18 years. She was bent over just looking at the ground. Mm-hmm. And Jesus healed her and said, Satan's done this to you. Mm-hmm. 18 years, you've been bound by the devil. Satan has done this. 18 years you've been bound by the devil. Be free. Be healed.
Yeah.
Isn't that our mission here on this earth? isn't this what we're supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. Aren't we supposed to be not just praying for ourselves, but praise God, we do need to be doing for that, mm-hmm. to not let the devil get that foothold, but we need to be giving this good news out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and tell them these things. Mm-hmm. You're up.
Well, and, you know, that's why especially on Wednesdays, you know, the first thing we usually do is start out with praise reports, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to prayer requests, because it helps us build each other's faith, knowing these great things happen to me. We've been praying for this, mm-hmm. and this is what happened.
Right.
And although it may not be the result that somebody wanted, it's still a good thing, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that sometimes people have a hard time with that because they pray and pray and pray, whatever that means, for however long, and they don't get
whatever that means, pray.
They don't get either the answer at all, let's say, or the answer they want, mm-hmm. and that's a hard concept for people. I mean, I definitely had that same thing. Well, how long am I supposed to pray here, and by the way, anyway? Mm-hmm. And now I know I'm just supposed to keep, you know, seek.
Keep on praying.
And how Graham Cook says on one of his CDs, sometimes you start off praying for one thing, and then God is starting to refine you, mm-hmm. and he's starting to teach you, and you start to pray how he wants you to seek something. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard concept for people, I think, but you just have to have faith. It is going to work out, mm-hmm. somehow. And I always say that. Yeah, I'm a little stressed about this right now, but I know it's going to work out. But, you know, I just have to, you know, get this worry out side of me somehow. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we all tend to do that. Mm-hmm. We stress over our situation. Sure. How is this going to be? And, you know, and the more you practice, okay, God, I know. Here I am sitting here fretting. Mm-hmm. When you've already got it worked out, the answer, mm-hmm. is already there.
Amen.
So here you go. Take this hideous stress from me so that I can have peace. Because I already know you have it worked out, even, mm-hmm. though I don't know how.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's like Romans 4:17, that Abraham called that thing to be not as if it were. Mm-hmm. When God had said, you're going to be the father of a multitude, look, mm-hmm. up in the sky, see all the stars, mm-hmm. look at the sand, see all the sand, mm-hmm. you're going to have that many descendants. And we know, of course, that he did. But at the time when God told him that, he had never had one child.
Not one.
So, and he was 75 years old to begin with when he left Haran. And then, you know, just think about that. Huge thing at 75, 85, and then finally 90, and then 100 when he's finally, you know, the father of Isaac. Amazing, mm-hmm. amazing that Abraham, and that's why we are children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. You know, when we are of faith, we are the descendants of Abraham because we choose to believe what God says about us, mm-hmm. and about our situation. We choose to fight, mm-hmm. the devil. Mm-hmm. Oh, Nathan, comment on that. We choose to fight. We choose to fight. We don't have to.
Well, we make that choice when we choose Christ.
Right.
We choose against the devil.
Amen.
And so in choosing against the devil, we have to fight him.
Yes.
Because he's not going to give us up without a fight.
Amen. So we're going to Matthew 18:18. That's where we're going. And we're going back to the prayer of agreement. And because it fits right here. It fits right here. Matthew 18:18. Jesus, these are his words. But I tell you the truth. Okay, wait a minute. Who's the truth and who's the lie? Jesus is the truth. In fact, one of his names is, I am the way, the truth,
and the life.
And the life, right?
Amen.
So here he says in Matthew 18:18, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth, mm-hmm. will be bound in heaven. Mm-hmm. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The word bind is talking about forbid it, declare it unlawful. Whatever you loose that is permitted, in other words, come into agreement. I propose to you, and we've really got to teach on this more. What we are in agreement with is what happens. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be in agreement with depression all day long, or if you're going to be in agreement with a certain lie of the devil that he's trying to take you and throw you under the bus with this, mm-hmm. lie, then that's what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. It's what do you put yourself in agreement with? That is what we're talking about. Comment on that, Brother Nathan.
Well, I believe the word of the Lord. You know, we got to come to the place where that's what we believe.
Yes.
And anything against that,
right?
Anything that opposes that,
right?
We disagree with.
Absolutely,
we fall out of agreement with that because it's failure.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So it's what does the word say about my situation? Do you want to comment on that? They're allowing
well,
it?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's the times that I've allowed those, you know, old tapes to play, and I decided that I was going to believe what they were going to say. And, yeah, that's me. That sounds like me. I'm, you know, just no good. And, you know, I don't know how God loves me because yikes. But and I feel bad. And I stay in that bad place. And, you know, when I can shake it off and, you know, remember what God says about me, that, you know, I'm his child and he loves me. Mm-hmm. It's lifted. The heaviness is lifted and I can go forward and do what I'm supposed to do. But if I stay in that place of believing the devil, I can't function. I can't do anything in God because I'm stuck.
Yes.
Stuck in a rut.
That's exactly it. We get stuck.
But God's word is the big rut unstucker.
Yes.
So when we get into a rut, we get into the word and we see what God says about us. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns, Face Down.
I try to find a new way to tell you, some way to show you what you mean to me. There's nothing new. Exhaust myself searching. The world just keeps turning. What else can I do? 'Cause I find myself empty and face down, having nothing else to cling to but need of love that only you can give. Face down, where I know that I belong, and I pray with grace that this world sees in me and bled, overcoming my death, recreating me. With this freedom, I will be.
To that place where we just are face down before him, you know, where we just say, God, you got to teach me how. If you don't know how to fight out there, folks, you need to learn how to do this. So many of our old shows over the last 2 or 3 years are on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And what we do is just teach you the word and teach you how to fight. We take this very seriously, to be on live 2 hours every single Sunday for almost five years now. We take this extremely seriously, that we need to help teach you how to humble yourself before God and get in the Word and find out what He's saying to you and teach you how to fight. Because if we don't fight, what happens, Madeline? If we just let it happen, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
Well, then you're like how I was before. You're just kind of going along. You don't have direction. You're
right.
Trying to do everything yourself, and, you know, you can't do that. You're not using your gifts. You're not in the Word. You don't know what God says about you. You're just, you know, I just say to me it was like, you know, you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You're just moving around and taking up space and just not being purposeful. You don't have a mission. You don't
right.
have a goal. You don't have excitement about what your life can be. It sounds boring.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds, you know, wow, I'm so grateful that I got to see, you know, that mm-hmm. I didn't stay where I was just in that, you know, just a sheep following along. You know, where am I going to end up? Am I going to be in the barn with the rest of these? Am I going to lose my way and be out, you know, somewhere on a hill? And, you know, it's no good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to fight, because when you enter the family of God, you enter a war zone.
You enter a war zone.
Because
okay.
Before,
that's good. That's right.
Before you,
that's right.
Before you know Christ, Satan's not paying any attention to you.
Right. Mm.
Because he already knows he has you.
Right.
But the moment you receive Christ,
right,
the light comes in.
Right.
And the light attracts his attention.
Absolutely.
And he begins to attack.
Right.
And he looks for any of your weaknesses, anything that he can get a hold of, anything that he can do or say, anything he can whisper to us,
right,
or anything that he can entice us with, that's what he uses,
right?
Because now you're a threat to him,
absolutely,
because your potential in Christ is unlimited.
Amen. Wait a minute. There
and,
you go.
And he doesn't want you to reach your potential.
That's exactly right.
He doesn't want that to happen in you.
Right.
And so therefore he's going to try to keep you down and defeated as long as he can. He knows he can't take you to hell.
Exactly.
He knows that. But if he can give you hell on earth, that's what he's going to try
right.
to do.
That's right. And if he can keep you from affecting other lives.
Right.
For the,
right.
You know, what do you say, Madeline, to people out there who say, I'm not sure the devil's real?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that? Because I hear that from time to time mm-hmm. from people. Oh, I don't know about the devil. Mm-hmm. I think you all talk about the devil too much. No, mm-hmm. come on. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I think I was in that place once, too, just because, you know, like I said, I didn't have information. So I had to learn that, you know, God said,
right,
the devil is there fighting us. So that's one.
How
God
Jesus went about
tells
doing
us
good.
The truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I know that that is the truth because God said it. And then also, I mean, when you're in your life and you're, you know, I always say the best proof to me that, you know, God exists and he wants good for my life is when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I get good results. I mean,
right.
It doesn't mean my life is perfect. It doesn't mean I don't have trials and tribulations. But when I'm praying and when I'm going to church, when I'm all in, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I know I'm on the right track and I feel it. And when I'm not, I feel the fighting of the devil. I mm-hmm. feel that he is around. I feel, you know, you see it in people sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways that you kind of know the devil's there, but I think people don't like that thought. Like I didn't. I didn't, oh, devil, yikes. I don't want to think about that.
Right.
I don't want to know from that. So
right.
I'm just not going to, I don't believe that. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
and
easy.
And there's people, they can put their head in the sand all day long.
That's it.
And believe that the devil does not exist. And all through the Word, God talks to us about the devil so many times in Scripture, so many stories, so many scriptures that prove one more time the devil's out there. He's there. He's doing this. In Revelation 12, 10 to 12, it says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
Okay? He's out there accusing you. He's accusing you to other people. He's accusing you to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's condemnation. And he's accusing you to God.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there constantly accusing. That's his job. He's our adversary. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a liar. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. That's 1 Peter 5. We never got there today. Verse 8. But that word devour is talking about swallowing you up. Just swallowing you up.
Mm-hmm.
A comment on that. Nathan,
well,
will you? Swallowing you up.
When Satan comes at a Christian.
Right.
let's say, a new Christian, and he starts playing those old tapes in your mind, in a person's mind, about the things that he has done and
right.
the sins that he has committed and stuff, that overwhelms him.
Right.
It overwhelms you, and you become depressed.
Right.
I mean, and that consumes you. That's how you get swallowed up. It's just consumed with guilt and condemnation.
And then you got to dig your way out of that pit, you know?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Madeline, talk about that.
Well, and we see it in church all the time. We see how he is trying to stop the work that we're doing. We see it and when the praise team comes in and who had a bad week and who's got a migraine and who, you know, had bad back pains and, you know, couldn't get out of bed and, you know, all of that stuff because he knows what's going to go on Sunday.
Right.
And he knows there's going to be powerful works. And we see it in families and we
right.
see it when people are divided. This is not, you know, this is not God, what God wants for us. This is not from God. And this is not from our human nature.
Right.
It's something that we are, you know, she looked at me at church today mm-hmm. with that look, you know, with
yeah.
that hairy eyeball
right.
that she turned her head and then I saw her say something.
Mm-hmm.
That is him.
Mm-hmm. So
you know,
working.
And 9 times out of 10, we're wrong about that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
And that's how you know.
Right.
Because we're not, you know, we're not hallucinating. We're not,
right.
we're not sitting there paranoid out of our minds for no reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason because he whispers in our ear.
He's mm-hmm. talking
see
all
how
the time.
She's looking at you. See how they're talking about you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well,
mm-hmm. Oh, I so know. And so we have to fight. We have to fight. We cannot just sit around and just get fat and sassy, you know. We've got to fight what the devil is trying to do. Those of you out there right now who are feeling discouraged, I'm going to pray for you right this moment. We come to you, God, in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to minister to these dear listeners. We ask that you would bring hope where there's been depression. Mm. We ask that you would bring healing where there is sickness and disease. Mm. We ask that you would speak life to their minds where there's been thoughts of suicide. Mm. And in the name of Jesus, we declare right now that God is greater than any problem we have. Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. We bind you, Satan, from attacking these dear listeners who are trying their best to walk in the wisdom that you have for them and to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so, Lord, as we teach this concept, as we live this concept, as we walk in this concept, let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And let us be that lighthouse on the hill. Let us be that voice that says you don't have to succumb to the pain in your body. You don't have to give up to the depression that's lingering in the corners of your mind. You don't have to let go of all hope. God is your hope. He is your hope. He is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? So we speak grace to your life. We speak mercy to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you are going about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Ooh, give us some thank final thoughts, Nathan. Woo, praise God.
Well, the name of Jesus is higher
yes.
than any other name.
Yes.
I mean, right now I just keep feeling in my spirit drug addiction.
Yeah. Okay. Take authority over
that. Struggling with drug
yes.
addiction.
Okay.
We just take authority over
Amen.
Drug addiction in the name of Jesus.
Right.
We speak release.
Yes.
We speak release.
Amen.
You are loose from this demon
right.
of drug addiction.
Yes.
You're set free. Wherever you need to go to get help, go get help.
Right.
Go to church, go to meetings, do what you need to do.
Right.
But you are set free in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Because Jesus' name
that.
Is higher.
For whoever
than
that is.
Whoever that is. It's, his name is higher than any other name.
Amen.
No Woo. Matter what it is.
Praise
no,
God.
No matter what it is. Alcoholism.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We agree with that right now. Madeline?
My thoughts are that, you know, for people who maybe are just struggling with, you know, who they are in God or don't know mm-hmm. God or were like me and just didn't get a lot of information at church is, you know, I was always told if you're not familiar with the Bible, just start reading John. Uh-huh. And just start slow and read. And, you know, if you don't feel ready to get involved in a church or a Bible study, just, you know, start off simply and just start getting information and just keeping yourself open, you know, just saying, God, you know, I don't know what I don't know. So maybe you can show me.
That's great.
You know, just keep me in your thoughts and let me know what I need to do.
Praise God. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Madeline and Nathan, for joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. You can go to our website anytime, day or night, 24/7, beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can go to the radio button and you can hear the last few shows, actually the last couple years of shows, tons of them right there. The word is there for you and it will help you come out of the situations that you're in. We welcome you to Beacon of Hope if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night. Night at 7 for Bible study. We have other things going on. Prayer meeting on Wednesday nights at 6:15. We teach a Faithful Leaders class every other Thursday. Won't be this week. It'll be the next week again. In-depth study of the Word. And, of course, as always, this show every Sunday at 4 o'clock. Invite a friend to listen. And we always love having you write us, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com goes directly to my email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Bill, we are going to go to track 3, More Than Conquerors, instead of our normal ending song. And be blessed as you hear this one more time and know that that is you. You are more than a conqueror. God bless you. Woo! All right. God bless you. Tune in again next week at 4 o'clock for Living the Good Life.